want to continue the theme of Phil has started on why Jesus. I do need something here. Of why Jesus. And there's a particular character in the Bible to me that speaks volumes of why Jesus. And it's like he wanted to know who Jesus was, but then there was this burning thing inside of him that, to me, that was saying, why are all the crowds around him? Why all the clamor? Why all the excitement? Why all the following of this man? So I want us to look at a particular character in the Bible. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to be reading the first 10 verses in a few minutes. So please turn there. And I hope we can answer some questions about why all the clamor, why all the excitement, why all the crowds, why all this excitement over this Jesus man. And this is the story. If you turn there, you might have a heading that says, Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus and Zacchaeus. And it's that encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus that we're going to be reading about. And I'm not sure why Zacchaeus had all this wanted to know who he was. If we read, we don't have the scripture, but if you read back in the end of Luke 18, you see where Jesus was entering Jericho, and he healed a blind man. He was calling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus heals a blind man entering Jericho. And then in Mark chapter 10, I believe it is, there's a story of Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus as he's leaving Jericho. A blind man wanting to see, entering Jericho, a blind man wanting to see when he's leaving Jericho, and right here in the middle, we're going to see about Jesus and Zacchaeus, a man who could see, and he wanted to put his eyes on Jesus. Amen. So let's turn to Luke chapter 19 and read along with me. If I stop and pause, just bear with me. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. I can just hear that. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. That was almost the maximum amount if you ever robbed somebody. The maximum was five times. Leviticus says if you stole an ox, you had to pay back five ox, okay? Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Some things about Zacchaeus. We know right away he was short. Okay. Tells us that. He was short in height. Some people say I'm vertically challenged. That was Zacchaeus. Okay. He was vertically challenged. He was a tax collector. And it says he was the chief tax collector. Now, let me just say a little bit about the history of tax collectors back in that day. And after I get done, you're going to say, well, what's changed, okay? The tax collectors were under the Roman authority, and sometimes they were chosen. They used to have to bid if they wanted to be a tax collector. My understanding, by this time, they had done away with that. So however he was chosen, Zacchaeus was chosen to be a tax collector, and he's worked his way up to be a chief tax collector. And more than likely, the scholars smarter than I am believe that he was probably over the custom house there in Jericho. Goods coming in, goods going out, tax in, tax out. And so, but if you lived in the Roman colony, which Israel was now a Roman colony, it had been conquered, you paid a tax just for living in that colony, probably once a year. If you were a male between 12 and 65, a male between 14 and 65, and why they did this, I don't know, but if you were a woman between 12 and 65, you paid a yearly tax. And then you pay taxes on stuff that came out of the ground. If you were a producer of wine or grapes or olives or grain, they taxed that. And if you carried that to market and you used their roads, they taxed you to be on the road. They taxed you if you had a cart. And they taxed you according to the number of wheels on that cart. And they taxed you according to whatever type of animal you had pulling that cart. A lot of taxes. And a lot of tax collectors got rich and were despised. That's why all the muttering was taking place. Because they could stop you anywhere on the road most of the time and ask to look at your bundle of goods or your cart and start exercising taxes on you. And if you didn't have the money, then they would say, hey, I'll loan you the money at a very high interest rate. So tax collectors became wealthy. Now, this is not the first tax collector that we see in Scripture concerning Jesus. The first one, back in, I think it's Luke chapter 4, is where Jesus calls Levi, a tax collector, to come follow me. And he does. We know him now as Matthew, one of the first apostles. So all that was happening. He was a tax collector. And Jesus was walking through Jericho. The scripture said he was passing through. That tells me Jesus at first had no intention of stopping anywhere. He was passing through Jericho. But he stops and he speaks to Zacchaeus and he calls him by name. Now I believe Father God gave him Zacchaeus' name. And we'll look at some scriptures later on that. But he stopped right where Zacchaeus was. And he called his name. And said, I must stay at, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. How many here know that Jesus knows your name? And he can call your name. He can call every single name in here. If he put the stars in place and named every one of them, this is nothing for him to know, our name. You ever heard the Lord call your name? Maybe deep down in your spirit over something? I heard the Lord call my name one time out loud. I was about 18 or 19. That summer, I had a part-time job just on Sundays between like 1 and 3 to help my neighbor get back to the nursing home. He was a state patrolman, had been involved in a very bad accident. He was paralyzed from the waist down. And my job was, his wife asked me, would you come and And he was Mr. Joe to me, my neighbor, Mr. Joe. Would you come and help Mr. Joe get back to the nursing home? And I would go over between 1 and 3 and get him dressed, put him in his wheelchair, go down the ramp, and put him in his car, drive him back to the nursing home, which was 2 or 3 miles from where I live. And there was a long stretch of road heading out of town where the nursing home was. And I would drive him there and drive up to the nursing home, getting him out of the car, rolling him in, and then the nursing staff would take over. Well, I was coming back one day, and you got to realize, this was about 1968, 69, and Mr. Joe had a brand new Cadillac DeVille. I loved driving that car on Sunday afternoons. And one Sunday afternoon, I was heading back, and like I said, there's a long stretch of road, and I said, I want to see how fast this thing will go. And I floored it. I pulled out of the entrance to the nursing home, that long stretch of road, before I reached the city limits of America's, and I mean 40, 60. By the time I hit 80, I heard, Morris! There was no one in the car but me. I mean, I heard my name. Now, I knew it wasn't my mother. She had a loud voice, but it wasn't that loud. But I heard my voice. Immediately, I took my foot off the gas and put it on the brake. I really believe that was God saying, uh-huh, son, come on. He called my name. There was no one else around. Jesus knows the name of every single person here today. And he can call your name. I want to go through 4 points on this story. And the first point is, do not let your limitations stop you from seeing Jesus. Zacchaeus ran ahead, what the scriptures say, that shows determination. He climbed a tree, that shows effort, and he put himself in the pathway so he could see Jesus. Desire, determination, effort, and desire to see Jesus. I encourage us this morning, don't let anything stop us from seeing Jesus on any given day. He's here. I mean, we just sing, his presence is here. You know, I'm going to wait just a few minutes before I do that, okay? Hebrews 12:2, if we can get that on the screen. Hebrews 12, chapter 2, tells us to let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That is, set your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. See, when we do that, when we seek to set our eyes on Jesus, everything changes. Everything. Everything about our life changes. When we seek to put our eyes on Jesus, it did for Zacchaeus. A couple weeks ago, in answering a question, Philip had the panel up here with Ron and Chad and Michaela. And the question was asked, why do people follow Jesus? And Chad and Philip kind of had the same answer. He said, because Jesus meets you where you are. And that's what he did to Zacchaeus. Up in a tree, he met Zacchaeus exactly where he was. Knowing he was a tax collector, knowing he was probably cheating people. No, his wealth didn't come by a whole lot of effort other than maybe robbery. But he met Zacchaeus exactly where he was, And it didn't matter that the people were muttering about what was about to happen. It didn't bother Jesus. It didn't bother him at all. So Zacchaeus fixed his eyes on Jesus. Don't let your limitations stop you from seeing Jesus in any given situation you may find yourself in. Hardship, good times, bad times, rich, poor. Zacchaeus abased himself by climbing a tree. A rich man. Couldn't he have hired someone to hold a ladder for him? No. There was a desire for him to put his eyes on Jesus. Second point, when Jesus speaks to you, obey immediately. I haven't always done that. He may speak to you through his word. He has to me on numerous occasions. He's speaking through his word this morning. He may speak to you through Holy Spirit. He may speak to you through a pastor, a friend, a book, a devotion book. I've had that happen. Wow, I needed that. And it set me in a new direction in my life. Because I'm looking for Jesus, and I'm looking to obey Jesus when he speaks to me. I had a situation in Walmart years ago, seven or eight years ago. And I was standing in line at checkout, and I was going out through the garden center. And I think this was either in Tifton, Georgia, or Albany, I can't remember. But there was a man ahead of me, and there were two lines, two checkouts, but one checkout person was very, very chatty. And I could tell this man was in a hurry to get through. Ever been in a hurry? Just, hey, I'm on business, I need to check out. But this checkout person, hey, how you doing? How's the weather? Oh, did you know my cousin so-and-so? And they just start talking and talking. And I could tell this man was getting so aggravated. And I was in the other line. So about the time I got through, he finally got in line. And I'm walking out the car with my stuff. And he didn't have that much, but he was having some kind of cookout because he had charcoal, he had hot dogs and stuff in there. And I think he probably went through the garden center like me. Maybe I'll check out quicker this way. I've done that before. Okay. And so I get out in the parking lot, and I'm loading my stuff into the car. And the guy's parked diagonally just across from me. And the Lord says, go tell that man everything's going to be all right. And I said, no, Lord, I've got places to be. And I finished loading my stuff, and I shut the door, and I opened the driver's side to get in. And the Lord said, go tell that man everything's going to be all right. Shut the door. Walk over. Perfect stranger. And I said, sir, you don't know me. He said, no, I don't. I said, but the Lord just told me to encourage you. I'm not sure what's happening in your day, but he's got it, and everything's going to be okay. And he stuck out his hand, and he said, thank you. I needed that. Never saw him again. Probably never will. But God is speaking to us through Holy Spirit. I got mentioned at our home group this past time. I think it was Steve Dean said, you know, if we just listen to Holy Spirit, he's telling us what to do. And that is the truth. He is. He's telling us what to do. Don't let limitations stop you from seeing Jesus. When he speaks to you, obey. The third thing is, he welcomed him gladly. You know, there's a thing that happens at ball games where I've been at football games where they say, okay, I was at an Albany State game in Albany, Georgia, and someone stood up about four rows down from me, and it was kind of a lull. He said, "Come on, people, get in the game." And he stands up and he says, "I say Albany, you say Rams," because that was Albany Rams. And he stood up and he said, "Albany," and we said, "Rams." He said, "Albany," and we said, "Rams." He said, "Touchdown." We said, you know how it goes? Have you been in ball games when that's happened? We say Crimson, you say Tide. Don't beat me up. You say Georgia, we say Bulldogs. You say, stay with me on this, okay? Because we're going to welcome Jesus here, and we're going to welcome Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Now, if you're in Hawassi, you're in a theater, listen, that sound's going to carry. It probably won't get out of the theater, so just raise your voice there. If you're at home sitting, just do it right where you are. Okay, here we go. I say Father, you say God. Father. Father. I say Holy, you say Spirit. Holy. Holy. I say Jesus, you say Christ. Jesus. Jesus. I say Hale, you say Hallelujah. Hale. Hale. I say Amen, you say Amen. I did that. Amen. Amen. Now listen, we're going to welcome Jesus. He's here. Have you welcomed him here gladly this morning? We've sung about him. We've clapped. So here we go again. I say welcome, you say Jesus. Welcome. Jesus. Welcome. Jesus. Let's turn it around. You say welcome, I say Jesus. Welcome. Jesus. Welcome. Jesus. I love that. I think Father loves that. Cheering. For the kingdom, it should excite us to welcome Jesus into any given situation in our lives. Amen. I've got to the point where I'm driving, and I just welcome Jesus to be in my car. I don't sing "Jesus Take the Wheel," but I do say, "Jesus, I welcome you as I'm heading to this place." Whether I'm walking into Walmart or Ingles or another store, I say, Jesus, I welcome you into this situation. Sarah and I were, my wife Sarah, lovely wife Sarah, we're taking the elevator up at the hospital, going to a doctor's appointment concerning her leg again. It was just the two of us in the elevator, and I said, Jesus, we welcome you into this doctor's appointment. Welcoming Jesus changes things. Fourth point. When Jesus speaks, we know to listen. And to obey. But Zacchaeus, when he heard Jesus say, come down, he came down. When you said, I'm going to stay at your house, that's where they went. We have no idea what the conversation was that day. None. No idea what that was about. But something had to have taken place. Something had to have been said. As they walked to his house, as they sat in his house, as they broke bread together. I've got to believe in my spirit something was said because Zacchaeus came out a changed man. His heart was transformed. Seeing Jesus changes us. Being with Jesus changes us. Welcoming Jesus changes us in that moment in time. And encountering the King of Kings and Lord of Lords changes us. It always will. Listening. Another thing from Pastor Philip asked us recently. I believe it was at the Easter service. And he asked, have you applied to your life what Jesus has said to you from last year to this year? Are you going to apply what he says to you this year into next year? Are we listening to him to apply the things he's speaking to us and to our lives on a daily basis? Zacchaeus, listening to Jesus, changed his life. Look at again at Luke 19, verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. I have an exclamation on mine. Yeah, it's there. Look, Lord. Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Man, that's pretty good. He's got a changed heart. You know, I think it was more than Zacchaeus' heart that was changed. Because in my mind, I'm envisioning Zacchaeus going to each person he robbed and speaking to them and saying, you paid me too much tax. And I'm going to pay you back. What? I can't believe that. He said, not only that, but I'm going to pay you four times what I took from you because I shouldn't have taken it to start with. A transformed heart. A repentant heart. That's what I see in Zacchaeus. A repentant heart. And he said, I want to make things straight as I can. I'm going to make things straight as I can. But I can also see him explaining to each person he goes to, why am I doing this? Because they are, why? And it's because Jesus. Why Jesus? Why because of Jesus? Why because of Jesus? And that started something in Zacchaeus' life. And not only did he come to the Lord, but his whole household came to the Lord. Amen? Luke 19, verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. He's part of the kingdom. He's part of the kingdom. Find a way to see Jesus in whatever situation or circumstances you may find yourself in. Listen to him as he speaks to you. Welcome him into that situation. Maybe it's a relationship at work that you're struggling with. Welcome Jesus into that situation. Maybe it's just a personal relationship between you and someone else. Welcome Jesus into that situation. It changes things. Instead of being in such a hurry to get through the line, welcome Jesus into the line and say, whatever you have, Father, I'm listening. Don't let your limitations stop you. Hear him when he calls your name. Welcome him. Listen to what he says. Spending time with Jesus. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. That's an ongoing uniting with us in the Spirit. Jesus was in a constant relationship with the Father. And we too, actually, are in a constant relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. He is speaking so much to us if we're just listening. Seeing Jesus changes us. Being with Jesus changes us. Welcoming Jesus changes us. And that moment in time, whatever that situation is, and encountering Jesus changes us. I've got one final point I'd like to make. And I'd like to ask the worship team, they can start heading this way if they want. You know, why did Jesus, he was passing through Jericho, why did he stop in front of that tree? Why did he speak Zacchaeus' name? Why did he tell him to come down, knowing he was a tax, Jesus knew he was a tax collector. If he didn't, he sure knew it when the people started muttering, but I think he knew it all along. Staying with a sinner? I want to go through three scriptures that kind of help us see what Jesus was doing. Because, see, Jesus was always about the Father's business. And we should be, too. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John chapter 12, verse 49. And I encourage you, if you didn't write these, review these scriptures. Let them get down in you. Okay. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I did not speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I've said a lot of things in the wrong way before. But when we're connected to him, he gives us the right words to say and how to say them. John chapter 14, verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not my own. Just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So we see Jesus speaking what Father has given him to speak. We see Jesus doing what Father has instructed him to do. He was in the will of the Father. So Jesus was passing through Jericho, and he stopped right in front of that tree and saw someone that wanted to see him because Father said, stop and speak to Zacchaeus and say these words to him. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. You know, the Lord showed me that did happen. I mean, the word says it. Zacchaeus came down immediately, took Jesus to his house for the day. But that transformation that happened to him, and whatever that day was, 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. But Jesus stayed in Zacchaeus' heart forever. He asked for a day, but he ended up spending forever in Zacchaeus' heart and life. I encourage us to listen and to seek the Father God speaking to us through Holy Spirit. You know, I entitled this message, Watch For and Be as Zacchaeus. Watch for and be as Zacchaeus. Because see, Zacchaeuses are in our lives every day. There are those that are just looking for Jesus. And they're in our pathway. So we need to be watching for the Zacchaeuses so we can explain to them why Jesus. And then we need to be Zacchaeus. Why? Because Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He heard Jesus. He obeyed Jesus. He welcomed Jesus. To be the Zacchaeus every day, we need to be saying, I want to, Father, see what you are showing me. I want to hear you. I want to welcome you into what you're showing me. And I want to do what you're showing me. Watch for and be a Zacchaeus. There's something I want to do this morning, and I've been praying about this. To follow the Holy Spirit in this. I have given invitations in, not quite like this before. I've given invitations in Russia and India and Honduras and Mexico. But, you know, sometimes the Lord doesn't do things the same way each time. So I've got three situations I'm going to present this morning. And if the worship team wants to, if you could just play something instrumental, kind of soft for right now, that would be great. If you are a Zacchaeus this morning and you came and you weren't sure why you came and you're thinking, why Jesus? Because it's not about why vertical or why this church or why that church. It's why Jesus. I'm telling you, you're in this pathway this morning, and he knows your name. And he's calling you. He's calling you this morning. That's some of the people here. Maybe one or two, maybe more. Maybe it's you at home sitting in your living room. You don't know why you ended up on the vertical website or the app, but you're watching. And you had a question, why Jesus? It's because he knows your name. Over in Hawassi, you may be asking the same thing. Why Jesus? If Courtney's, I'm pretty sure Courtney's over there. And she's probably down front. Zacchaeus says, Father sees your heart. He sees your determination. He sees your effort. And he sees your desire. And so I'm just going to speak these words. I spoke them over the... I'm just confirming what the Holy Spirit has already done here this morning, okay? And whether you're at home watching or over at the theater, you hear these words because you're making a declaration to the Lord this morning. He sees your heart's desire. So I'm just speaking from one end to the other. So be it. So be it, 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 so be it. And even to those that didn't get up, because there's some that are saying, that was me, that was me. I'm saying, so be it. He sees your heart's desire. We'll let the worship team lead us in this last song. If there are other prayer requests this morning, I'll be to the side over here. Just wanting to pray with you, to stand with you. Hang on, worship team. There's one scripture I did not ask to be put up because I wasn't sure if I was supposed to use it, but now I am. It's from John chapter 4. Please listen to these words. And those that are looking, watching for and be as Zacchaeus, listen to these words. John chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 35. Do you not say, 4 months more, and then the harvest? I tell you, once your eyes, open your eyes and look at the fields, they are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. When we are watching for Zacchaeus in the life, the work has already been done. The seed has already been sown, or else they wouldn't be asking why Jesus. It's easy to grab a hold of a Zacchaeus. The harvest is plentiful. The work, the seed is sown. The work is easy. We just have to do it. Amen.